did on the cross of Calvary for us. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you have them, open to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And while you're doing that, I'll get situated. I will tell you that the message this morning is going to be about Mary, the mother of Jesus. You don't hear very many sermons around here about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We spend a lot of time talking about Jesus, and I believe that's good. And I believe it was the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And we do have studies about Peter, Paul, and now Mary, Peter, Paul, and Mary. We do have studies about other men of God, but there are women in the Bible. And unfortunately, sometimes women get left out, and we forget the importance of women. Men, do we forget the importance of women? God saw that we were helpless. He said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for them. So I'm glad I'm married, and I'm glad that Bill had Debbie to take care of him for 40 years. Not sure exactly how she survived. That just proves that God still does miracles. The miracle, he is in the miracle working business. Look at all these notes I have. You guys are in trouble. I'll try to get you out here by 1:30. By that time, Lubies will be free. The crowd will be done. You can get in there and have fun. We are in Acts. I'm all settled now. We can get going. Acts in chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women," and notice, "and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Isn't that interesting? That the Bible, the scriptures, the holy word of God, takes time to point out that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with the disciples and his brethren. That's very interesting. I think there are two extremes in tradition. I'm talking about Christian tradition. There is an over-exaltation of Mary. We find that, and I think that's a mistake. And then there's an underappreciation of Mary. Amen. Like, we don't want to talk about it, like it's taboo, you know. We don't want to be talking about Mary, the Virgin Mary. I think these extremes are wrong, and we need to have a balance. The Bible clearly points out, probably, you can check my numbers here, like two or three chapters in the Bible about Mary. And I've heard sermons about certain people in the Bible, and they're only mentioned once. But we have whole chapters of Mary, and I think it's important that we learn some lessons about Mary. She was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as she followed the Lord, we ought to follow her, or at least her example. I think there are some great examples in her life, and I'm going to do the best I can to show you some of those examples, how they pertain to you and I as Christians. And I think as we go through this, we're going to realize, boy, Mary lived through what I'm living through, or better yet, I'm living through what Mary lived through. We have an example. Now, some of the extremes, we have some of our missionaries, my son Corey and Brian, Brian and Judy are back from Poland. They can testify that this is truth. This is one extreme. In the city of Warsaw, which is the capital of Poland, there is a Sanctuarium Matki Bożej Królowej Polskich Męczenników. Is that correct, Magda? That's correct. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm going to translate. This is a translation. The Sanctuary of Our Lady, Queen of Polish Martyrs. The literal translation would be the Sanctuary of the Mother of God, Queen of Polish Martyrs. I mention this because it is unique When you go into the sanctuary, there'll be a large cross on the wall, and on that cross will be Mary. With Jesus in her arms. I think that's a little bit extreme.
Amen.
I think what they're trying to say is that Mary suffered as Jesus suffered. I don't know that that's true, but Mary certainly did suffer. But I think that would be an extreme. That would be the extreme on one side. On the other side is not, we hardly mention it at all. And I can remember Bill can testify, I always tell these stories wrong, he tells me later. So if I get the names wrong or who did what, well, we'll just figure it out. You can just get the idea of the story. The story is good. So Bill and I were preaching in León, Guanajuato in the shadow of San Juan Bosque, which was a big church, a Catholic church, Roman Catholic church in this barrio, in this subdivision or this colonia. And we were preaching. It was at night. We didn't have any rocks thrown at us because it happened that nobody was out there that night. Nobody was out there. We preached. Nobody was there. We're going back to the car. Now, this colonia or this subdivision was occupied by Gualapanos, which was a little street gang that they had there. And they had tattoos on their arms of La Virgen de Guadalupe, which is the patron saint of Mexico. Some of you may or may not know that. And they were pretty rough guys. We didn't like to be around them if we didn't have to. But if they were open up to the gospel, we'd be more than happy to talk to them. We're going back to the car, and as we're going back to the car, big old guy comes around the corner, tattoos on his arms, approaches us and said, "I heard you say that you're going to preach, and I've got my cuates, I got my guys over here, and we want you to come and preach to us." And we said, as diplomatic as we could, "Well, we've already preached." He said, "No, I heard you say that you're going to preach, and I got my guys over here, I want you to come preach." And I'm thinking, I bet he does have some guys over there, and I don't know how much preaching we're going to get done. But as it was, we shot up a prayer to God, "Oh God, I don't want to die tonight. Have mercy upon me. If I go, let it be quick. I don't want to get pelted with stones. I don't like pain. Let's go." We go around, and sure enough, the guy was a mechanic, and he had a lot full of junked out cars, and his guys were all sitting on these cars. And for 3 nights in a row, we preached the gospel.
Amen.
We preached Christ and Him crucified on the cross of Calvary for sinners like you and I and them. And we preached that for 3 days. And after 3 days, He said, "Hey, you haven't said one word about our mother." They had the tattoos. "You haven't said one word about our mother. I want to hear something about our mother." I said, "Go ahead, Bill. You go there." "You go ahead and take care of that. I'll be waiting in the car." Well, I say that because there is that extreme. And I think we ought to have a balance in the scriptures. And I want to bring that out. But before I do, I have five points I want to bring out about Mary. That she was chosen by the grace of God and not by merit.
Amen.
And so were we. That she had a miracle within her body.
Yes.
God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in her.
Wow.
Did you know that we have God in us if you're a Christian, if you're born again? She learned submission instead of presumption. Don't we have a lot of presumptions about God, what He's got to do for us, and we really don't want to submit? She lost sight of Jesus in her life. Ever happened to you? You lose sight of Jesus? And my last point is her faithfulness even under extreme suffering. Those are all great points for Christians. And I want to get into those. But before I do, I just want to take a moment of time and go through some things to clear up some misconceptions about Mary. First of all, Mary is a real person.
Yes.
And as real people, we should not be making images of people and bowing down to them, not even to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be bowing down to images. God is a spirit, and if you're going to worship Him, you worship Him in spirit and truth. But there's some things. There is a traditions teach us about the perpetual virginity of Mary. And if you look in the Roman Catholic Catechism, they will say this is that she was ever virgin. That is, she was always a virgin, still is a virgin. I don't think that's exactly lines up with Scripture. First, I'm going to quote the Catechism, then I'll give you the Scripture, okay? Set the ground rules. First, the Catechism. This was written by the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church, signed off by the Pope as nihil obstat. It's nothing objectical. You could take this as true tradition. So this is not just hearsay. This is an official Roman Catholic doctrine, and if you want to look it up in the Roman Catholic Catechism, you are more than welcome to it. I have the citations here. It says about the perpetual virginity of Mary, the deepening of faith in the virginal motherhood led the Church to confess Mary's real and perpetual virginity, even the act of giving birth to the Son of God made man. So they proclaim a perpetual virginity. Now, I'm not sure why they have or people have this idea that virginity is a sign of holiness. The Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. Did you know that?
Amen.
It's undefiled. Sex outside, and I'm not trying, don't blush. I'm sorry, I didn't give you a warning. This is PG-13. So sex outside of marriage is sin. Sex in marriage is not sin. So it would not be a sin for Mary to have relations with her husband, Joseph. Now, they caused a storm in Aguas Calientes because we were preaching there, and they said on the front page, they said that we were passing out pornography of the Saint Joseph and Saint Mary in the very act. And they put in the newspaper with their address. Not fun. That was not a fun time. But no, that's not what we're saying. We're just saying that Mary had other children through Joseph. Yes, Mary was a virgin. God did a miracle in her life. It was actually prophesied where it says in Isaiah, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the truth in the Scriptures. But the idea that Mary did not have any other children, it doesn't line up with the Scriptures. Look quickly with me. Matthew chapter 12 and 46. He says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, that would be Mary, the mother of Jesus, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Jesus. Then one said unto Jesus, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I want you to notice a straightforward reading of that would say that these people, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren came. They couldn't get to Jesus because there was a crowd around him. Somebody came up to, you know, like the president came up and whispered in his ear, hey, your mother and your brethren want to speak to you. And Jesus takes the opportunity to say, listen, I've got spiritual brethren and spiritual sisters and a spiritual mother, and you're looking at them right here, those that do the will of my Father. But did you notice that he had brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Where did they come from? They came from Mary. You don't believe that? Look in Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, we have a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and right there in the middle, he gives us something about Mary. Because the defense is, well, these weren't brethren in the sense of blood brothers. They were cousins, or they were disciples. Well, disciples comes from this actual scripture here, that when you're a disciple, you're a brother of Christ or a sister of Christ or the mother of Christ's sisters or the mother of Christ by doing the will of the Father. But look at Psalm 69 and verse 8. I, speaking of Christ, a prophecy about Christ, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. So it's a little bit extreme to say that Mary didn't have any other children after she had Christ. She was a virgin when she gave birth to our Savior. That is a doctrine we believe. In fact, there was a great uproar, maybe Brother Kincaid. I saw somebody else told me that they were in the 80s this morning. Maybe y'all remember back in the 50s when there was still black and white TV. There was an uproar because they came out with a new version of the Bible. And in that, in Isaiah, this prophecy of the virgin birth, it said they translated it instead of virgin, they translated it as maiden. Can you believe they took those Bibles and burned them? Why? Because they were denying the virgin birth of Christ in a translation. So yes, this is an important doctrine. But just as that is important, the Bible does say that Mary had other children. The next one, the tradition teaches that it was an immaculate conception of Mary. In other words, Mary conceived Christ. When she did so, she had no taint of original sin. In fact, the Catechism says, the most blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, not the conception of Christ, her conception, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. By the grace of God, Mary remained free of every personal sin her whole life long. Not only was she born without the sin of Adam, like we all are, but according to tradition, that she never had any personal sins in her life. Well, that would be great, just not true. The Bible says clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mary herself said, talking with her cousin Elizabeth, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. People that don't sin don't need a Savior. You don't need it. Only people who need a Savior are the ones that sin. I need a Savior. Thank God I have a Savior. Mary, or Jesus, the Son of Mary, is my Savior. Is He your Savior? Has He saved you from your sins? Look, if you really believe that you don't sin and you had an immaculate conception and you never had any personal sins, that you know, you fulfilled all the law of God down to the jot and tittle, well, you don't need a Savior, my friend. And the gospel message isn't for you. The gospel message is good news for sinners. Amen. And I can remember preaching in Poland in front of the main metro there. They would ask us, what are you doing here? I said, I'm looking for sinners. What? Because I was American, I'm amongst all these Poles, and they knew I wasn't Polish every time I spoke. They said, you're not from here, are you? No, I'm not. What are you doing here? Where are you from? I'm from Texas. What are you doing here? I'm looking for sinners. Why are you looking for sinners? I got good news for sinners. What's that? Jesus died for sinners, and they can be saved and forgiven of their sins. And then they'd say, what, they don't have any sinners in Texas? I said, well, I guess they do, so I came back. Here I am. But the point is, Christ died for sinners. Amen. Mary recognized that she was a sinner and recognized that Jesus was her Savior, that God was her Savior. The other thing, you might come across this, they have Mary as an advocate or a mediatrix, somebody that advocates for sinners in front of God, or before God. Listen to what it says. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the church under the titles of advocate, helper, benefactress, and mediatrix. Did you know the Bible says there's only one mediator between man and God? The man, Christ Jesus, He's the only mediator. Do you know why that is? Because we can't approach God, you and I as sinners. Any sinners in the room, by the way? I don't want to be preaching, you know, you guys already know this stuff. Are you a sinner?
Yes.
You can raise your hand. Are you a sinner? Okay, now I know where the sinners are. Okay, I got you all figured out now. Did you know that a sinner cannot approach unto a holy God? Because we're unholy, that God is angry with the wicked every day. Did you know that? That God is angry with you. God's not pleased with your sin. He's angry. He does not delight in sin like we do. We like to paint our sin. We like to whitewash our sin. But God says, no! It's like filthy rags in His sight. Even our good works are that away. So we do need somebody that would mediate our cause. But that person has to be somebody that never sinned.
Amen.
Guess who that is? Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus Christ is our mediator. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Boy, that's exclusive. The only way to God is through Jesus.
Amen.
That'll put a hole in religion, won't it? Because people say, well, all roads lead to Rome and all religions lead to God. No, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Along with this idea that Mary is a mediatrix or an advocate, is the idea that you can pray to Mary. If you're having some troubles, you can pray to her. In Mexico, that was quite common. They would long pilgrimages so they could bow down before an image and pray to Mary. They said the image would help their faith. I think these are all extreme things, and they're definitely not biblical. And that's why I'm taking this time to show you. It says in the Catechism, being more closely united to Christ, those who dwell in heaven fix the whole church more firmly in holiness. Their intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. We can and should ask them to intercede for us and for the whole world. First of all, praying to the dead is not a good idea. Second of all, Jesus said, when the disciples asked him, Master, teach us to pray. Guess what he said? He did not say, in this manner pray, our mother which is in heaven. No, how many remember what he said? He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He did not say, pray to the mother or pray to the brethren. He said, pray to God. You should pray to God. In Hebrews, he tells us, wherefore Christ is able also to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by Christ, seeing that Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ is doing the praying for us. And if you got Christ praying for us, you don't need anybody else. What an intercessor he is. And the last one is the Assumption of Mary. The idea is that Mary never died, that she was lifted up in heaven just like Christ. I don't know where they got that from. It made up, I'm not sure. The Immaculate Virgin was taken up bodily, body and soul into the heavenly glory. Something wrong with that, because the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Mary died as well. The Bible also says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So there are some points for you. So trying to clear up those misconceptions, let's take a look at the Mary of the Bible. Mary, who was chosen by grace, not her merits. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And our text said, And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with the brethren. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Did you notice how many times it said that Mary found favor in God's eyes? Do you know anybody else that found favor in God's eyes? There, who said me? There you go, there you go. Somebody found, did you find favor? Where'd all them sinners go? Have you found favor in the eyes of God?
Amen.
That's called grace, brethren.
Amen.
That's grace. Oh, the wonderful grace of God. That God is favorable to you instead of casting you into the depths of hell where you and I deserve to go. He says, I'll grant you mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says, by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God. Did you know that before Mary was born, there was a prophecy about her? Y'all are Bible believers. You're a little bit silent this morning here. Did you know that? Well, I've already given you the verse. I already read it. It's on Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 that a virgin was going to conceive and bear forth a son. Right? And his name was going to be Emmanuel. Guess who that was talking about? That was Mary. Did you know it's similar in our case as well? Have you ever read the first chapter of Ephesians? This is sort of interactive. I know we're not used to doing this. But have you ever read the first chapter of Ephesians? Have you? I'm glad to hear that. I'll remind you. Verse 4, it says, according as Christ has chosen, or God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Did you know that God had a plan before your granddaddy was ever thought of? Did you know that? Before Adam sinned, God already had a plan for sin.
Amen.
You don't catch God off guard. He'd already had a plan, and that was Christ crucified from the foundations of the world. What a blessing that is. That's called grace, brethren.
Amen.
Amazing grace. The Bible says it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Did you notice that Mary wasn't going around saying, pick me, pick me, I want to be, pick me. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. But she was found of Him that sought Him not. I should say God found her. The Lord found her. She wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for her. And guess what? That's exactly what happened to you. Just like Saul on the road to Damascus. He wasn't looking for God. He was looking a way to fight Jesus Christ and the gospel and those that proclaim the gospel. He was against God. He was against the gospel. But he found the Lord on the way to Damascus, even though he wasn't looking for. Aren't you glad that God is looking for us?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God found us?
Amen.
I don't know where He found you. He found Saul on the road to Damascus. He found me in a basement of a home in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Somebody else in a trailer house out there in Roswell, New Mexico, in the back bedroom of a trailer house. Where did He find you? He found Mary. And she was highly favored in the Lord. And that is the grace of God. That God would look upon sinners like you and I and say, I'm going to give you grace.
Amen.
Grace, grace, marvelous grace. In the book of Romans, he said that I quoted it partially, says, Isaiah was very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that not asked not after me. Aren't you glad that Jesus is that great shepherd of the sheep and he's willing to leave the 99 and go out into the highways and byways and find us?
Amen.
Found me, and I'm so glad. He found me and saved me and changed my life. Look over in Matthew in chapter 1. Mary was chosen by grace, not by her merits. She found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah did. Just like you and I did. She found grace and God chose her to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is very interesting, because the Jews had a law that if the woman presented to them, the males, presented the males, was not a virgin, that he had a right to put her away. I wonder if we applied that law today, what would happen? Has our morality slipped a bit, do you think? Yeah? You know, he does say in the Bible, abstain from fornication.
Amen.
And he says, flee fornication. And fornication is a sin. Hello, are you listening? Hello, fornication is a sin. Any sexual act outside the confines of marriage is a sin in the eyes of God. God made sex for marriage, not outside of marriage. You can say amen.
Amen.
Well, here's Joseph trying to serve God, trying to do his best. And his espoused wife, his fiance, showing up a little plump. She was with child. Don't you know that was a little bit embarrassing for Mary? How do you go to explain to your fiance, your boyfriend, hey, I'm pregnant. Not by you. Let me finish the story. By God. I wonder how many young ladies have tried to persuade their fathers that she is with child by God. Do you know how silly that sounds? Do you know how embarrassing that must have been when Mary gets this message and finds herself with child by God, the Holy Spirit? How is she going to tell her parents? How is she going to face her father? How is she going to face Joseph? Have you ever come across that problem as a believer? You go back to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you go to your mother and your father, guess what? I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I now have the Son of God in me. And they're looking at you just like they looked at Mary. Said, what are you talking about? I know you. You're a rascal. I just gave you a spanking the other night. What are you talking about? What do you think? You're better than us? You ever had that problem? There's a lot of people that become Christians and they have problems with their family because they don't want to believe that God is in me. What do you think? You're better than me? Who are you? You're not holy. You're not righteous. Who are you? If we get some of these missionaries up here and give some stories, they will tell you that many a young man has been cast out of the home because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went home and said, listen, I found forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was contrary to their tradition. And they want to cast them away, and not privately cast them away. Don't you know that it's embarrassing sometimes and it's difficult? How do you explain it? Tell me, how do you have God in you? How can that be? And then the more you tell the truth, the more weird it gets. Well, you see, this angel came down and was talking with me. You saw an angel? Yes, I saw an angel. I had a conversation. What was the angel's name? Did he have a name? Yes, by the way, it was Gabriel. We had this conversation. And he told me these things. Are you nuts? Can you get the picture? Have you ever had that happen to you when you became a Christian? I can still remember this day going into my father's home and telling him that I have become a Christian, and it's like Ichabod. It was like, oh no, not my son. Yeah? Has that been your experience as a Christian? That the world doesn't want to receive you? They think you're weird? They think you're a cyclops? There's something wrong with you, and the more you try to explain, the weirder it gets. You tell them that even though you're a sinner, God forgave you. Amen. You tell them even though you weren't baptized yet, God forgave you. You tell them even though you didn't walk to Guadalupe, you didn't walk to Mexico, or you didn't walk to San Juan de los Lagos, you didn't plead to the angels or to the saints or to Mary, that God forgave you. And then you have the audacity to tell him that the Son of God is in you. And they're looking at you just like you said, you're a virgin and are with child. Yeah, Mary went through that. She went to it and she knew it was going to be problematic for Joseph, and Joseph was minded to pitch her out. Now he was a little bit more loving. He wasn't going to, you know, make a laughing stock of her. He wanted to do it privately, but the same thing. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. If you suffered that with your family, well, take heart. Mary, the mother of Jesus, suffered that. Yeah. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Proclaim it. It is the miracle of God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. It's a whole lot easier preaching in Poland than it is in the States. Because they don't know you in Poland. Well, they might know you, Magda. I'm sorry. They know you, but they don't know you, or they don't know you in Mexico. You know, you're just somebody different, and they just want to know about you, and it becomes natural. What are you doing here? Well, I'm here to tell you some good news. But you're here in the States, you're just one of the crowd. And if you go home to your family, they're saying, I know you. You don't tell me you're a Christian. I know you. I know what you did. I know how many times you did it. You're not kidding me. Even when you thought I didn't see you, I saw you. I know what kind of person are you. You are. There's no way that you're a Christian. You're not holier than I. You're just a wicked sinner, just like everybody else. How can you be a Christian? Because they have the mentality that Christians are holy people, that they're better people. They should be holy, and they should be holy. But the only praise that Christians have is Christ in us. He's our only hope.
Amen.
Jesus said, if a man come to me, listen to it carefully, if a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You want to be a disciple of Christ? How about that? Did you know that Christ expects us to give it all? And he expects us to suffer the shame?
Amen.
That he's not really worried about or concerned about that we have to suffer a little bit of shame. Mary herself suffered shame. In today's age, we got the idea if you're a Christian, that means we got plenty of money in the bank. We got no difficulties. Nobody's going to laugh at us. Nobody's going to cuss us out. Everybody's going to pull over for us on the highway and we can just drive anywhere we want. Everything is going to be pinky, peachy cream. What a life we're going to have. Did you know what? There is a cross in the life of Christians. Take up your cross and follow me is what Jesus said.
Amen.
Look over in John. Boy, time flies. John chapter 2, Mary learned submission after being presumptuous. John chapter 2 and verse 1, on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Have you ever gone to God with expectations? Got some pressure on you? People thinking you got to get this done and looks like you're going to be embarrassed again. What are you going to do? Well, I'll go to God. God's promised to answer my prayers. I'm going to go to him. And when you go to him, he says, no, I'm not going to do it. And worse yet, instead of treating you like the kingly person that you are, or the queenly person, he responds, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Yeah? My poor wife. She's endured. Much like Debbie, no doubt. She's endured. Got to Mexico, and I learned a little word called mujer, which means woman. And all the Mexican men, when they would talk to the wife, they'd say, hey, mujer, vente, come here, woman, come here. Then I read in the Bible, that's what Jesus used, so I started using it. Didn't go over too well. Did not go over too well. I'd say, hey, woman, how about some popcorn? And she's looking at me, you never see them eyes that just burn a hole right in you. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say, my holy mother, who I always bow and give to whatever desire you have. Jesus basically said, no, I'm not going to do it. It's not my time yet. Then Mary, instead of getting offended like you and I, or some of our ladies, instead of getting offended, you know what she said? She gave the greatest command for Catholics in all the Bible. She said, whatsoever Jesus tells you, whatever He saith unto you, do it. Well, that's pretty good advice, wouldn't you say? Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Are you doing it? I told you last week or last time I was telling somebody about these Jehovah's Witness come over and they've been talking to me, and after spending 30 minutes telling me I gotta do, and I told them I don't, and I can't. And then they said, well, you gotta try. Boy, they sing differently. Well, Jesus says, or Mary said, do it! And she was not a representative of Nike. She said, do it! Whatever Jesus says, do it! Are you doing whatever Jesus says? Amen. All right. She learned submission. The Bible tells in the book of Psalms, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. We have a tendency of believers to try to command God, or demand of God as if we are the kings and He is the servant. It's actually reversed, brethren. He's the king. We're the servants. We should go into His presence humbly. Thankfully, we can go there boldly because of Christ. He's our intercessor. And we can ask, and we have a great intercessor. But we should be careful of presumptuous sins. Amen. And we ought to learn when God says no, that we say, okay, whatever you say. Isn't that what Jesus did in the garden? He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. That's what Mary learned. Have you learned it as a believer? Not my will, but thine be done. Did you know the biggest problem you have as a Christian is your will? Amen. Quickly now. Hitch up your safety belt, your seat belt. We're going to go through this very quickly. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to be with them, or have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing, and said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You know the story. Now, I don't know how anybody can be confident in Mary answering their prayers or being able to go to Jesus when we have a story in the Bible that she lost track of him. Has that ever happened to you, mothers? You went shopping, you went down one road, and you thought he was right there, and then you went down the other road. You think he's still trailing behind, and you get over the checkout. Where's he at? And fear comes, right? Right, mothers? Fear. Where'd he go? And you're running around. Where's he at? We're in León, Guanajuato. Just got down to Mexico. And we'd started preaching in this little park, Las Cruces. What was that place called? That first little park. So, yeah, somewhere. But yeah, Plaza de la Cruz. We're having meetings in the Plaza, didn't have anybody show up but us, but we would go down there, we'd have meetings every time we'd be preaching, and nobody was coming at the time. And well, Janice says, hey, have you seen the boys? Corey and Jason. Corey's right here. Yeah, right here. Yeah, that's Corey. They disappeared. They're just little tykes. They disappeared. Well, we go down to the plaza in front of our little house. No, they're not there. We go upstairs and look in the bedrooms. They're not there. Go to the backyard. They're not there. Not too concerned yet. We haven't checked the basketball court. So we go over to the basketball court. They're not there. We go to the little park over there. They're not there. We're getting a little bit anxious. Go to the neighbors. Are they over there? No, they're not there. Call up Bill and Deb and Joe and Deb. Hey, come help us. The boys are gone. We can't find them. Bill comes over with his moped and he's driving around. He's looking for them. And we're looking. We're getting a little bit more and more anxious. We're getting to the point we might have to call the police because we don't know where our children are. Have you ever been there when you don't know where your children are?
Been there.
And then here they come. Two little guys. I don't remember how old were they, Janice?
5 and 3.
Walking up. The father's anger. Where have you been? What have you done? Because you're just anxious and you're so glad they're there, but at the same time, do you know what you've done to me? And your mother. And all this crowd that's looking for you, do you know what you've done? And they're standing smiling with their Bibles. Well, we went down to preach like you did, Daddy. True story. Mary and Joseph, they're 3 days into their journey, or into their journey, and they're looking for him for 3 days. Where is he at? Right where he's supposed to be. You see, Jesus hasn't left. It was you that left. Hadn't that happened to your life, Christian friend? You lost sight of Jesus. You said you're a disciple of Christ and you're supposed to be following him. He said, follow me, take up your cross and follow me. And you're supposed to be following him. He's not supposed to be following you. You're following him and you lost sight of him. Where did he go? Well, he's standing out on the water. And you said, Lord, is that you? That's me. Can I come on to you? Sure, come on. And you get out of the boat and you're going to Jesus. And all of a sudden, oh man, look at that. Look at that wind. Oh, look at these waves. And next thing you know, you're sinking because you lost sight of Jesus. Mary was there, the mother of Jesus. Have you been there? Peter cries out, Lord, help me. And he immediately took him up. Mary lost sight of Jesus. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. If you lose track of Jesus, you figure out the business of the Father and you're going to find him because he's going to be there. And brethren, let me give you something. The life of a Christian is always re-engaging, re-engaging. It's like them crazy GPSs in your car, recalculating, 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 because you got off track, recalculating, recalculating. Somebody says, shut it off. No, no, no. Keep it on. Recalculating, recalculating. I need to get my directions back to the Father. Because there Jesus is going to be. One more. Well, let's make it fast. Mary's at the cross. Do you remember that? John chapter 19. The disciples had fled. They took him out. They took Jesus out. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They stripped him naked. They hung him on the cross, naked as a jailbird. And he's hanging there, bleeding on the cross, desperately breathing for every breath. Guess who's there watching? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some of you mothers know about that when your child has a high fever and you rushing to the hospital and the doctors don't know what to do and you're sitting there watching and they're putting the paddles on him and they're doing everything to restore his life. And you're just hurting. You're just hurting. You don't want them to hurt. You would rather die in their place. You don't want them to hurt. And there's Mary, faithful all the way to the end. And her son is suffering capital punishment, not for anything that he did.
Amen.
Please come knocking at your door looking for your son. More than likely, he's done something wrong. And that is painful, even when he's done something wrong. But how much more painful when he did nothing wrong. And there's Mary at the cross, just looking up at her son, faithful to the end. Did you know the Bible says it's good for us to go into the house of mourning? Because we can learn something there. Did you know the Bible talks about suffering for Christ? Peter says it this way, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody or in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. We as Christians, especially American Christians, we've got a wrong attitude. We've got an attitude that there is no Christ in Christianity. There is no cross in Christianity. And that is the main thing, brethren. He said, preach Christ and Him crucified. It is the cross that we preach. And we preach Christ and Him crucified died for us. And Mary was there to the end. Sad things happen in your life. Tragedy. Unjust or injustice. Not right. And there's nothing you can do about it. You feel helpless. You just want to give up and just run away. Well, that's not what Mary did. She was there. Right there at the cross. Some of you have been running from God, but your mother's right there still praying. Praying that you'll come back to God. Aren't you glad for mothers that are like that? Aren't you glad there's a prodigal father standing on the hill waiting for you to come back? Waiting for you to come to yourself and come back so he can cry out and say, this my son was lost, but now he's found. Let's have a party. He's come home. Have you been running from God? You probably have a mother praying for you. You probably have a father waiting for you. Why don't you come home? Why don't you come home? Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer before we go.